Hello, and welcome to the Jim Ruff Show. Today I have a special guest, a friend of 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, starting, Joseph McCormick, who's here from Ashland, Oregon, and other places. And Joseph is a pioneer in the area of democracy, which is a high interest to me and other people that watch this show. Joseph, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, Joseph has a very interesting background. You were the Republican congressional representative, or representative to the candidate.
I was the nominee to
You were the nominee to the from the Republican Party in Jimmy Carter's district.
Right.
When was that, Joseph?
In 1998.
Tell us a little bit about your story, about how you started out there, I think, and how now you've come to this position of working on a project of reuniting America.
The pain of losing an election and then the consequences of that in my personal life became kind of real for me. My marriage kind of dissolved. I'd put everything into this campaign. I won the nomination and I thought we would win, to be honest. And we raised the money. I thought we did everything we needed to do, and we didn't win. But that was okay with me. But then things started shifting in my life to make it something of a crisis of loss. And I lost a lot of my identity in a lot of ways. And it forced me into a personal transformation that I started looking at the question, who am I? And that took a couple years after this. And as I went through that inquiry of who I am, then I started to connect it to my passion, my political passion, about who are we as Americans. And what I really realized is as Americans, we are not any ethnicity, we're not any group of people, we are a set of ideals. And then my inquiry, and it became an inquiry, it started the path of what's the Democracy in America project now, of how to honor in practice the ideals that taken together represent who we are. Because I was finding we were out of integrity as a country, and out of integrity means that your intention or your ideals are out of alignment with your actions. And I'm working to create a form of democracy that aligns our intentions with our actions.
Okay, so you felt this sense of we-ness, that we as a society, not only you did a personal transformation period, but then you, in that personal period, you realize that we as a collective are not in alignment, and now you're on a path to bring that alignment into being.
That's exactly right, and it's I can't tell people to be in integrity. I can't tell America. I can be in integrity myself personally. In other words, to me, the four principles that I identified, and I went around and we talked to people across the country, across the political spectrum, about these four principles: equality. All Americans believe in equality, that all men are created equal essentially. And the opposite of that is superiority and inferiority. But if you look in our country, then we are experiencing great levels of superiority and inferiority. The other one was freedom, unity. The opposite of unity is division. So we say we're the United States. We say e pluribus unum. But we live us, them, red, blue, you know, this religion, that religion. And then the last one was self-empowered government. In other words, government by the people. But in reality, having had a glimpse on the way Washington really works, there's no government by the people. There is government by an intense competition between special interests.
Oh, that's great. So you had the four principles, and you went out on a quest to interview people, and you were making a movie, I guess, is the way this began, and you interviewed lots of people on these four principles. Is that correct?
That's right. We talked to I sent out 50 interview requests, and I got 11 to respond. Ross Perot responded, and we went down to Texas and did an interview with Ross Perot, Ralph Nader, Noam Chomsky, the head of the American Conservative Union, Lynn Nofsinger, Reagan's former press secretary. So we got some people from all sides of the political spectrum, and they basically said that if you're going to guarantee these principles, if you are going to, then who is going to guarantee them? It's not going to be the government. It is going to be the people. And that's exactly right. But the people are not we the left or we the right. The people are is some sort of reunion to me, or reintegration, or an integration of all points of view. And when those points of view are all integrated, then that's what I would call a we the people. And that is a model for equality. It models, in other words, people can are that are reintegrated, they have an equal voice. Unity, it's a microcosm of the whole. Freedom, another freedom to me is about creativity and being able to speak freely and act freely. And then government by the people, this is re-engagement of people in thinking about how they choose to govern themselves.
That's great. So that takes us up to where you and I met, I think. Apparently you got a copy of my book, and well, maybe you tell the story.
Well, that's exactly what happened, is after this trip of talking to these people, then I was saying, because I'm not a blamer or a complainer. Those are the words I use now. I'm not a victim. And I was saying, after I talked to these people, I said, okay, what can I do? What needs to be done to create this We the People? And that's where your book came up, is that as I had remembered reading your book, and that's when I called you. Yeah. I had sent you an email and said, Jim, you know, let's talk about, because you seem to have a method of recreating We the People in a microcosm. And so that was really the first step after our initial inquiry into what to do.
That's great. And so we were doing our experiment in the Rogue Valley, and you did a film job. I mean, you brought your cameras, and you borrowed your cameras.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But put that experiment that we did on film and in a very professional manner, and it added so much excitement to everything we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Was your presence, just being there, and now of course that film is meant a lot to us in our work.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you could keep going with the story. So then
well,
what?
It's interesting because the film, because having done that has truly informed, and that has created the connections. The fact that we put that event together, which was an event of faith, and there were the people in Ashland, and that was a springboard, because we actually started something. And I think this is really important. We actually created a We the People. Randomly selected people, they dialogued together, and they got the level of empowerment and responsibility that it takes to say, it's not up to them, I can't blame and complain, I have to take responsibility if I want to envision what type of community I want to live in, nation I want to live in. And so the empowerment of that, even though it was small and relatively isolated in an out-of-the-way place in Southern Oregon, it has led me to, I have continued to follow the same spirit now for 2 years, and now it's kind of like an upward spiral. I've gone from the Wisdom Council, then we did a council of national opinion leaders from the left and the right. We got them together to talk about, to model a dialogue between national opinion leaders. Then we got the leaders of national membership organizations.
So first you gathered a group, and this was in Michigan, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of national opinion leaders from the left and the right, and you brought them together, and what did you do then?
Well, basically we modeled the experience of equality and council dialogue, and because it was the first time that many of the people sitting in the circle had ever experienced being equal. Because in general, from my experience on the political right, I was always either superior in the room or inferior, because the ranking system, our society is very rank-oriented. And when you sit in a circle like the Wisdom Council, then your voice is equally valuable to all other voices. And that was an incredibly important experience for some key people, especially from the political right. And they went on, they have gone on from that meeting to form coalitions now with people across the political spectrum, and they're beginning to model this themselves. One is called the Liberty Coalition. Two of the alumni from this conference are participants in the Liberty Coalition that includes the American Conservative Union, American Civil Liberties Union, those types of organizations.
That's great. So that was the Michigan conference. Mm-hmm. And then you call this now the Democracy Campaign.
We're actually now calling it, because I realize we're calling it a campaign to reunite America.
Okay, campaign. Okay. So, all right. So then you had brought the national opinion leaders and together for a conference in Michigan. And then you went back, and now you've just completed a bringing together of people from member organizations, representatives of member organizations. Is that correct, from the left and the right?
That's correct, because really where we're going is in order to engage large numbers of American citizens in civic dialogue in their local community, that is what I call transpartisan. In other words, to get a bunch of Democrats together, talk, then it's a flat dialogue. There's no juice there because everybody agrees. To get a bunch of conservatives together, everybody agrees. They all hate the liberals, and all the liberals, you know, they hate the conservatives, or, you know, that's kind of the perception. So the key is to create safe spaces where you can get red, blue together. You create a purple space that there's a power to it. The dynamic, the polarity actually in a safe container is much like a dynamo, if you know the way a generator works. It generates an energy where my conservative point of view, which is a valid point of view, let's just say, and your progressive point of view, which is a valid point of view, together with all the points of view, they create a balanced understanding of the whole. And when this is done well, with integrity, then it's a powerful experience, and then you have the opportunity to actually move it into action that is transpartisan action. In other words, it's not we the progressives that want our policies and we're going to push against the conservatives, but it's all of us together saying, what do we want? And so in order to achieve this on a large enough scale, we had to get the leaders of the membership organizations. So it took me a year to develop a relationship with Joan Blades, the founder of Move On. And I cold emailed her. She emailed me back, and after the Bush-Kerry election, she emailed me again and said, hey, I'd like to have a dialogue with some conservatives. Can you help me? And that opened the door. And then I went to some conservatives, and we got Grover Norquist, the president of Americans for Tax Reform, and he agreed. And then we got the president of the Christian Coalition. And so then we start building from there. And then we got Sierra Club and then American Legion and League of Women Voters. And all of a sudden, we had the biggest, we had an event, and it's only 6 weeks ago now, of organizations representing 70 million Americans. And the last thing I'll say about that is that when we looked around the circle and the question was brought up that there's 70 million Americans represented in this circle, everybody, and we were talking about how do we address the biggest problems facing America, then the question was asked, who's really in charge here? And we realized that if this group could possibly collaborate on civil liberties or the Patriot Act or global or climate change or election reform, then if they could collaborate, they could do it. In other words, because they had the integrity, they had the balance, they had the wholeness to be powerful enough to address these major issues. And so now we're beginning to envision forward what the implications of this might be.
So you see that you're seeing that this would be a parallel to the normal governance, that people would feel more represented by, if I was in the Christian Coalition, for instance, or that I would feel more represented by the leader of the Christian Coalition doing this talking than, say, a random selected group.
Well, actually, you see, there's a strategy. Okay, so there's the strategy that I'm pursuing is one of building the relationships and gaining the cooperation of these membership organizations to send their members. So you got to build the relationships among the leaders to get them to cooperate, and then they'll send their members. They'll promote dialogues in what we're calling purple counties across America. There are certain counties across America that are pretty purple, balanced left, right, and they have ACLU, Christian Coalition, Sierra Club members in their county, and we get them all to promote an event. Okay, so that is one method of beginning to stimulate large-scale citizen dialogue. Now, the random selection of, like, the Wisdom Council, okay, first of all, the Wisdom Council principle is that it operates outside the official structures of governance. That is a principle that I'm kind of seeing being powerful. It's a very powerful principle. Is if we operate in the red-blue political system, we lose our power. If we operate outside that political system, so there are many forms of way this dialogue can take place, but many of the principles of the Wisdom Council have to be built into it. It has to be a microcosm of the whole, and the Wisdom Council uses a random selection to recreate that microcosm of the whole. In this case, then we're using the membership organizations in a balanced way to recreate the balance. It's just a different means of getting to the same end. So, to be honest, I don't know exactly where we're going, and the more I admit that I don't know, the more things are falling into place.
Mm-hmm. That's great. But it sounds like you've got it clear that there's the representative elected system, whatever, and then there's being outside the system, and you're looking at creating a sense of we the people outside of the system that can grow into. And the way you're currently following that path right now is through this member organizations and people coming together from the different member organizations, as opposed to, well, in complementary to the Wisdom Council. We've talked before about how they fit together so beautifully. My image is that the Wisdom Council would be randomly selected, and they would come up with unanimous statements on issues and then present their results to this gathering of people from the representatives from membership organizations and the gathered members, and have a large gathering, and then people have that way the topic is framed by essentially we the people and the sense of conclusions, and then people have this dialogue and response.
Okay, Jim, you're exactly right. I think the principle, one key principle is we're working outside the current system. And to me, what that does is it gives you a sense of moral authority, because we're not lobbying. To me, the long-term goal is not to build enough grassroots connection among purple areas of America to be able to lobby Congress.
Right.
You'd lose all your power if you ever did that. And mm-hmm. this is one of the main learnings I took out of the Wisdom Council personally, is that we're talking, and this is the other main learning, and this is powerful how people respond to it. We are talking from the people to the people, as opposed to from the people to the government, and that's called an advocacy group or a special interest. And there's lots of that.
Yes.
And this is the Wisdom Council has informed so much of this. Now, what you're saying about framing issues is extremely important. And until you just said that, because right now framing has become a huge issue. We got all the wrong language in America. The political right owns certain words. Values, family. Those are two words they own. The political left owns certain words. Environment, and whatever, you know, they own other words that are sustainability. And words are being used to polarize. And if a Wisdom Council is used properly, then, and I'm just thinking out loud right now, then the people frame the issue that's on their mind in their own language, not in the language of the politicians who... And then the issue that emerges from the Wisdom Council is the issue that is seeded, possibly, into the conversation of the local dialogues that are, we're using, we, Scott Heiferman, the head of Meetup, came to this conference, and Meetup has done a very good job of having, they have millions of people around America meeting up every, once a month, and they might, and they might meet up about their dog, or they're meeting up because they all like a certain way of cooking or something, but they also are meeting up because they have political issues in common. So what we're doing is we're having a dialogue now about having using the Meetup tool, which is an internet tool, to have large-scale citizen dialogue that is transpartisan. But the question is, why do they meet? Do they frame their own issues? That might not be that, you know, after they meet a couple times, it might not be sustainable as a they might need to have the issue framed or seeded into the monthly conversation. This month it's something, but where'd the issue come from? The issue has to come from somewhere, and to maybe bring it from a citizen wisdom council might make a lot of sense. So these are forms that need to be considered right now.
That's great. Yeah, the other quality to me is, or the conversation is the kind of conversation that happens. That it isn't just about gathering people in a room. It's about assuring a certain caliber of conversation where people are listening and respectful. And the other thing is that a lot of times people can do that, but they never talk about what needs to be talked about. I mean, it's easy to have a respectful conversation about...
That stays very superficial.
Stays superficial, right, and come up with superficial things and have a very meaningful experience out of it, but stay safe. And at some point, there's a turning in where we actually talk about the issues and come up with conclusions that we all want. That, to me, has been the focus of my work. How to assure that quality of conversation. And the interesting thing that I've found in that is that that conversation, I call it a choice-creating conversation, mm-hmm. as opposed to like decision-making, that it resonates. There's a resonance to it. There's a lot of features to it. Some are scary, but one of the neat things is that it resonates mm-hmm. to we the people, to other people, so that when the Wisdom Council presents their results, it isn't just the results that these people are getting. They're getting a resonant quality of how that conversation is happening. The kind of conversation is also transmitted.
Yeah. No, you're precisely right, Jim. And these are the technology of creating the quality of safe space that allows people to go deeper into authentic conversation that they do move into choice creating. Yes, and I know the dynamic facilitation is a technology to apply. And to be honest, I've been on this path trying to gather the different tools, actually to become familiar with the technology of what's the technology of open space? What's the technology of World Cafe? What's the technology of dynamic facilitation? What's the technology of Conversation Cafe, which is a totally unfacilitated, you know, a hosted conversation, but it's totally unfacilitated. And we've actually tested them. We've seen some benefits and weaknesses. You know, for instance, Let's Talk America. They get people together, but the problem is that they stayed on the superficial level because there was no method to get them very deep. And so, therefore, there wasn't a lot of juice. But the question I'm coming up with right now is maybe there is, because you need highly trained and highly skilled facilitators to take a group deep, and there isn't a highly skilled facilitator in this community. If you had three meetup groups happening once a month, three meetup groups of 10. You'd need three skilled facilitators, and we need thousands across the country, because we're now at the point where we can actually do that with Meetup, with Move On, with Town Hall. Town Hall is the Move On of the right. We can actually get the dialogues, but we have to figure out how to create the safe containers, and then we have to figure out how to harvest the fruit that comes out of the dialogue.
Right. Well, you've been on this search, and you have these different technologies that you've been exploring, and it seems like they're going to come. I mean, I'm really glad I'm not in that basket. I'm holding a flag for certain technologies, but I recognize that I'm also a Conversation Cafe person. I founded the Conversation Cafe in town here, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's been going for 4 years. So, yeah. And I'm going down there Friday. but so you see all these different technologies, and you're pulling them together, and you're going to have a pattern here that it seems to me is going to be a very important pattern. It's going to be going to be people who have a lot of power and a lot of influence. And it seems to me how you see this pattern and how they see the pattern is how that comes together right now is a very important moment here.
You see, because the timing, what I have been getting is timing. This is a very lonely road you've been traveling for many years. In some ways, it's been a lonely road for me for 3 or 4 years. Because nobody really gets the need for this until now. The number one issue, and just our little, my experience here just recently, we did a little poll with a few people sitting in a room, and we put some issues up there that were national issues. The number one issue is polarization. Everybody sees, or is becoming to see, that this polarization is the thing that will divide us, and a house divided will fall as a result of the polarization. So it trumps healthcare, it trumps Iraq, it trumps everything because it's the system. It's the system is dysfunctioning.
Yes.
So you're right. So the timing is arriving, and now the real work needs to be done to integrate the various technologies and say, well, how would they work together? How would we deploy conversation cafes? How would we deploy a wisdom council, whether it's a local wisdom council or a national wisdom council? How would they fit together? What are the different feedback loops between them? We're also doing leader dialogues of national leaders, and this is now possible. We have Vice President Gore confirmed for June.
That's great.
So, and you know, you get those type of people that are willing to come into the room,
yeah.
Then you can feed their wisdom to the people and the people's wisdom to them.
Well, Joseph McCormick, we've reached the end of our time. And I'm just really thrilled that you were able to be here. You and I are going to continue our conversations tonight, and Ned Crosby's going to join us.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.